I thought I'd just read a little bit about, I mean, to just give you a sense of scale of what is happening in Chhattisgarh. When they created this people's militia, the Salwa Judum, in effect, it swept through the forest, burning and looting and emptying something like 644 villages, which was 350,000 people. 50,000 were moved into sort of police camps. And from those, they raised a militia of SPOs that are special police officers. And 300,000 just sort of disappeared, you know. Some people migrated to other states. Some people are living in fear in the forest. So I'll just read so that you could get an idea of the texture of what's going on there. The Salwa Judum was a ground-clearing operation meant to move people out of their villages into roadside camps where they could be policed and controlled. In military terms, it's called strategic hamleting. It was devised by General Sir Harold Briggs in 1950 when the British were at war against the communists in Malaya. The Briggs plan became very popular with the Indian Army, which has used it in Nagaland, Mizoram, and Telangana. The BJP Chief Minister of Chhattisgarh, BJP is the right-wing Bharatiya Janata Party, the right-wing Hindu party, Raman Singh, announced that as far as his government was concerned, villagers who did not move into the camps would be considered Maoists. So in Bastar, for an ordinary villager just staying at home, living an ordinary life, became the equivalent of indulging in terrorist activity. So you can imagine, the constitution first criminalizes their way of life and makes them criminals, and now they've graduated into being terrorists. Along with a steel mug of black tea as a special treat, someone hands me a pair of earphones and switches on a little MP3 player. It's a scratchy recording of the then superintendent of police of Bijapur, D.S. Manhar, briefing a junior officer over the wireless about the rewards and incentives the state and central governments are offering to Jagrit, as in awakened villages, meaning the villagers who agree to move out are being given incentives. He then gives clear instructions that villagers that refuse to surrender should be burnt, and journalists who want to cover Naxalites should be shot on sight. I'd read about this in the papers long ago. When the story broke, rumor has it that as a punishment, it's not clear to whom, the superintendent was transferred to the State Human Rights Commission. The Salwa Judum was announced at a meeting of village mukhyas, village heads, in a village called Ambeli in June 2005. Between June and December, it burned, killed, raped, and looted its way through hundreds of villages of South Dantewara. The center of its operations were Bijapur and Bhairamgarh, near Bela Dila, where the SR Steel's new plant was proposed. Not coincidentally, those were also Maoist strongholds where the Jantana Sarkar, the people's governments, had done a great deal of work building water harvesting structures. The Jantana Sarkars became the special target of the Salwa Judum's attack. Hundreds of people were killed in the most brutal ways. About 60,000 moved into camps, some voluntarily, others out of terror. Of these, about 3,000 were appointed as special police officers on a salary of 1,500 rupees, which is about $40 a month. The remaining hundreds of thousands of people went off the government radar. Many of them made their way to neighboring states where they usually migrated to work as contract labor during the chili picking season. But tens of thousands fled into the forest where they still remain, living without shelter, coming back to their fields and homes only in the daytime. In the slipstream of the Salwa Judum, a swarm of police stations and camps appeared. The idea was to provide carpet security for a creeping reoccupation of Maoist-controlled territory. The assumption was that the Maoists would not dare to attack such a large concentration of security forces. The Maoists, for their part, realized that if they did not break that carpet security, it would amount to abandoning people whose trust they had earned and with whom they had lived and worked for 25 years. They struck back in a series of attacks on the heart of the security grid. On the 26th of January 2006, the PLGA attacked the Gangalore police camp and killed 7 people. On 17th July 2006, the Salvajurum camp at Erabor was attacked and 20 people were killed and 150 injured. You might have read about it, something like Maoists attacked the relief camp set up by the state government to provide shelter to the villagers who had fled from their villages because of terror unleashed by the Naxalites. On 13th December 2006, they attacked the Basaguda relief camp and killed 3 special police officers and a constable. On the 15th of March 2007 came the most audacious attack of them all. 120 PLGA guerrillas attacked the Rani Bodali Kanya Ashram, a girls' hostel that had been converted into a barrack for 80 Chhattisgarh police and SPOs, while the girls still lived in it as human shields. The PLGA entered the compound, cordoned off the annex in which the girls lived, and attacked the barracks. 55 policemen and SPOs were killed. None of the girls were hurt. The attack on Rani Bodali caused an uproar in the country. Human rights organizations condemned the Maoists, not just for their violence, but also for being anti-education and attacking schools. By the way, all the schools in the area are used as barracks for security forces. But in Dandakaranya, the Rani Bodali attack became a legend. Songs and poems and plays were written about it. The Maoist counteroffensive did break the carpet security and give people breathing space. The police and the Salvajurum retreated into their camps, from which they now emerge, usually in the dead of night, in packs of 300 or 1,000 to carry out cordon and search operations in villages. Gradually, except for the SPOs and their families, the rest of the people in the Salvajurum began to return to their villages. The Maoists welcomed them back and announced that even SPOs could return if they genuinely and publicly regretted their actions. Young people began to flock to the PLGA. The Salvajurum had not just failed, it had backfired badly. But as we know now, it was not just a local operation by a small-time hood. Regardless of the doublespeak in the press, the Salvajurum was a joint operation by the state government of Chhattisgarh and the Congress Party, which was in power at the center. It could not be allowed to fail. Not when all those MOUs were still waiting like wilting hopefuls on the marriage market. The government was under tremendous pressure to come up with a new plan. They came up with Operation Green Hunt. The Salvajurum SPOs are called Koya Commandos now. But the government has deployed the Chhattisgarh Armed Force, the Central Reserve Police Force, the Border Security Force, the Indo-Tibetan Border Police, the Central Industrial Security Force, Greyhounds, Scorpions, Cobras, and a policy that's affectionately called WHAM, Winning Hearts and Minds. Significant wars are often fought in unlikely places. Free market capitalism defeated Soviet communism in the bleak mountains of Afghanistan. Here in the forests of Dantewada, a battle rages for the soul of India. Plenty has been said about the deepening crisis in Indian democracy and the collusion between big corporations, the media, major political parties, and the security establishment. If anyone wants to do a quick spot check, Dantewada is the place to go. A draft report on the state-agrarian relations and the unfinished task of land reform said that Tata Steel and SR Steel were the first financiers of the Salvajurum. It was a government report, and it created a flurry So that fact was subsequently dropped. Was it a genuine error, or did someone receive a gentle integrated steel tap on the shoulder? On the 12th of October 2009, at the mandatory public hearing for the Tata Steel plant meant to be held in Lohandigura, where local people could come, actually took place in a small hall inside the collectorate in Jagdalpur, many miles away, cordoned off with massive security. A hired audience of 50 tribal people was brought in a guarded convoy of government jeeps. After the meeting, the district collector congratulated the people of Lohandigura for their cooperation. The local newspapers reported the lie, even though they knew better, but the advertisements rolled in. And despite villagers' objections, land acquisition for the project began. The Maoists are not the only ones who seek to depose the Indian state. It's already been deposed several times by Hindu fundamentalism and economic totalitarianism. Lohandigura, a five-hour drive from Dantewada, never used to be a Naxalite area, but it is now. Comrade Juri, who sat next to me while I ate the red ant chutney, works in the area. She said they decided to move in after graffiti had begun to appear on the walls of village houses, saying, "Naxali ao, hame bachao. Naxals, come and save us." A few months ago, Vimal Meshram, vice president of the Janpad Panchayat, was shot dead in the market. He was Tata's man, Juri says. He was forcing people to give up their land and accept compensation. It's good that he's been finished. Do you want some more chapoli, which is the chutney? She's crunching red ants. We won't let the Tatas come here. People don't want them. Juri's not PLGA. She's in the Chetna Natya Manch, the cultural wing of the party. She sings and writes songs. She's from Abujmar. I feel I ought to say something at this point about the futility of violence, about the unacceptability of summary executions. But what should I suggest they do? Go to court, do a hunger strike in Jantar Mantar, a rally, a relay hunger strike? It sounds ridiculous. The promoters of the new economic policy, who find it so easy to say there is no alternative, should be asked to suggest an alternative resistance policy, a specific one to these specific people in this specific forest, here, now. Which party should they vote for? Which democratic institution in this country should they approach? Which door did the Narmada Andolan not knock on during the years and years it fought against big dams on the Narmada?